Hi guys, welcome back to the Sunday Reset.
Hi.
I am your host, Bria.
I'm your co-host, Jasmine.
Yes, and guys, welcome back. We want to also thank you guys so much for the support that you've been giving us throughout the duration of these past few weeks. This is only the third episode, but we've garnered over 12K views. And I'm just proud of us, honestly. Like, we really did that.
We sure did. I'm so, like, I was, like, really surprised by some of the comments that I was seeing to, like, the clips that we have on our page. That was a little surprising. Like I know the advice that we'd be given and stuff like that, but, like, when you guys actually, like, comment and say, like, you know, like, that means so much to me, or, like, you know,
right.
Like that, like, what you're saying, it's really hitting my heart. It's duly noted. Like, you know, that means a lot, because sometimes it's a little hard to be in front of the cam, especially just starting out.
Absolutely. It's just been amazing. I really do appreciate it. I didn't think that we would get this much positive feedback and support. So it truly is a blessing. And I also want to say before we start, I am having a little technical difficulty, so you might see me lagging a little bit. As long as you can hear my voice clearly, that's the only thing that matters. So just forget about the visual. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I look like. Just listen. Listen, okay? Clock that. All right, so Jazz, can you go ahead and introduce the topic that we're going to be discussing today and why it is so important?
Yeah, so today, we're going to be talking about forgiveness and grace. Having grace, especially in today's society of just straight negativity booming all day, every day. I feel like I absorb so much, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, you know, go ahead.
No, you're good. But also, like, it's just, like...
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, that ties back into the soft girl era that we were just talking about. Like, having so much negativity every single day, like, genuinely, you're going to need to decompress and pull back at times. So, yeah, that's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, these past, like, a couple weeks, especially, like, with family and stuff like that, I know we know, like, we mentioned in our first episode that our grandmother had passed away in January. And then also our great-grandfather had just recently passed away in July. Dang, last month. Like time is going by fast. I'm not going to lie to you. Because it's already August, just, like, to think about that. But, yeah, it's, like, having grace when it came to dealing with, like, the situation or even with yourself, like, during the grieving process. It was, it's something that we did our research on it, and as we talk about it, it definitely is a real life stuff.
Absolutely. And this kind of ties into exactly the topic that we're talking about today. We're discussing, you know, forgiveness and grace as a form of freedom and not passivity. And then we're also going to tie in one of our favorites. It would be a disservice to this podcast if we did not discuss the importance of Tyler Perry, the mogul that he is.
Oh my goodness.
Everything. I mean, honest to God, there are times where if I don't go to church, I will just put on a Tyler Perry play. And that is church all
you
in itself.
I thought that was a little bit weird doing that. Like, I shouldn't be replacing... Not necessarily replacing it, because, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
no, not a replacement, but.
I don't also, like, do it along with the word. Like,
yeah, it's a form of worship, because, I mean,
yeah.
That's okay, what he does in the play.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about how Tyler Perry's plays and films often use forgiveness as a turning point for characters. And we're going to also start out with the quote that we always say when it comes to Mr. Perry: forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is your favorite or most notable or memorable Tyler Perry movie that has that theme of forgiveness in it and then has, like, the lesson just kind of laid out? Cut and dry.
Dang.
Because you know what's coming to mind for me right now?
You started off. Give me one.
What's coming to mind for me right now, just off the top, is Madea Goes to Jail, the movie. You know, when she goes to prison and they're, like, sitting in the sanctuary discussing Viola Davis. Oh, praise the Lord for Viola Davis. But Viola Davis is in the movie. And she's basically a minister, and she's preaching to the, you know, the prisoners about grace and forgiveness, how it's not for the other person, it's for you. And so it's this one character in there. You don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what he did to me. And so that's what Madea is like. girl, you are in here stuck because of the anger that you have for your father. You've lashed out on everything. You're now in prison and your dad is somewhere out there living his life, not thinking about you or any of the things that he's done. So that kind of really like stuck with me because I'm like, dang, there are a lot of times. How many times have you seen, you know, somebody do something to you and you carry that on, whether it's being angry, passive, weird, or whatever. And then it's like, you're just so upset about what has occurred. Nothing is going great in your life because you're still acting weird. But then that other person, it looks like life is just going well for them. You know what I mean? And it's just honestly, even though what has happened to you is not your, it's not your fault. It's not always your fault. And it's definitely not always fair. It is your responsibility to heal though. And I think that's kind of where people, you know.
Yeah, factory. Yeah, I think, okay, so I got a good example. Okay, I got a good example. The plays now. I'm talking about the plays when I say this title, because there's a difference between the movies and the plays when we're talking about Tyler Perry. I say, oh my goodness gracious, Madea's Big Happy Family. There's so many moments of having, like, to realize that forgiveness, it was a major theme in very certain parts of the plays and big components of the plays. I would say necessarily specifically towards the end when the daughter, what was the eldest daughter's name? Kimberly, the one that had the child. We found out, spoiler, this is a spoiler for the play.
Y'all done had like 20 years to watch it, like whatever.
Yeah. And we found out that Donnie, we found out that Donnie.
Oh, rest in peace to Zuri Craig. We love you.
I know, rest in peace to Zuri Craig. But I love Am Bam, you know. Okay. Somebody just texted me something. I'm sorry. But this because she did that so well. Hello, Donnie.
Yeah.
Madea, he's in the sixth grade. Or like he's in the second grade or some shit. He pulls out the coloring book and he starts getting real happy. He starts shaking the table and shit. Anyways, when we find out that Donnie is actually Kimberly's daughter that she had when she was extremely young, like damn near preteen, because she was being sexually assaulted by her father or and other family members.
Yeah, I think it was like family. Her uncle or something. Quiet.
Yeah, like an older male figure in her family. Apologies. Yeah, because it was most likely the uncle. But like she was like, Madea was just talking to her and was like, you're so angry, because throughout the play, she was acting so angry. She was so angry and snapping back at everybody.
And then what happened when her mother passed away? She was about ready to jump in the casket. Exactly.
Jump in the casket.
Exactly.
Like just like Jennifer Lewis and Meet the Browns. When she was like, Daddy! That movie is funny as hell.
Literally, okay. Like off topic, I literally like that. Say that 10 times a day. Like I'll be like, Daddy.
Yes, but both parallels in the Tyler Perry, there's multiple parallels of forgiveness in the Tyler Perry universe, because I feel like that's what a lot of the things that he's always trying to preach to people, or the message that God is trying to preach through him, you know, if you want to be like that. But it every single time in that movie, in that play, like she Madea was basically preaching her, you need to forgive all those who've wronged you, because you carry that pain and that anger and that resentment with you. She was treating her husband so terribly. Every single thing that he said to her, she was snapping back at him. Yeah, tweaking out on him for no fucking reason. I'm sorry.
And he had no, but he had no idea what she had been through.
Yeah. And yeah, he didn't even have no idea of her lore, bro, of her trauma. She never actually like told him everything. So then he was like, he like literally had to like sit back and like not take on all her trauma, but like it was like,
right.
You never told me this. And this is like, that's the reason why I could have been helping you heal, baby. I love you this entire time.
That's what marriage is
and
for.
And they did end up coming together. You know, she sung her heart out. And she's like, don't leave me. Like, you know, that Tyler Perry shit or whatever. I love it. I do. But that is the gist of the song. Is the don't leave me. I'll be better for you. I swear, you know, you're the best I ever had. I just didn't realize it until now. So right. Her husband had to forgive her in that moment, too. And it was like, if I'm going to take her and I love her as I am, because that's my wife until death do us part, I'm definitely like, I have to understand that. Jennifer Lewis, she had to forgive herself for not being there for feeling like she was not there when her daddy was sick or when he passed away and stuff like that, or feeling that guilt and all that. So like that guilt caused her to dive in the freaking laying the, you know, in the burial site, but like still at some point she had to forgive herself throughout his universe, plays and movies. That takes a really big part. I'm gonna take another one and then I'm gonna let you talk. Sheila and Why Did I Get Married, the play and the movie.
I wasn't even thinking about that one. That is a really good one. Sweet. I wasn't even thinking about that one.
I literally like, I just thought about that, bro. Sheila,
when she was in the bathroom, Michael. And she was like,
yes.
She's like, I wonder what I was doing when satisfying. I saw you.
The most satisfying scene in movie history.
Smack that ass, or
top five best revenge scenes.
Jill Scott,
in
I
movie
love you
history.
So much.
Yes. Mwah. If I ever get married, Jill Scott is my hall pass. You're my hall pass list.
Yes, Jilly from Philly, she knows who I am. I'll be tweeting her all the time. We love you so much. I almost jumped out my damn chair when she tweeted me happy birthday. I was like, oh my God, Sheila.
Can't.
Sorry. Anyway.
I wish. Okay, but yeah, she had to forgive Mike. She had to forgive Mike, and she, like, even though
and
Diane
Trina.
Was a lawyer. Yeah, and Trina. And even though Diane was a lawyer, and she said that they was going to take, like, I know Diane wanted to take every single thing that Mike had and split it because Sheila was the back end of the life that he had built for himself or for him or whatever, the life that he think he built. But it was really Sheila, especially in the play, we found that out. They went into a little bit more detail.
That was like, such a big act of forgiveness.
Who do you think cooked your books? Yeah. Who do you think cooked your books? Who do you think did that? Who do you think made sure that that this person did this, this, and that? And I sent them these gift baskets during the holidays, and I basically did our marketing and stuff like that, yada yada yada.
He's like, you did that for me? No, I did that for us,
the life we built for our kids,
and now you ruined it.
Cheryl Pepsi Riley,
love
her.
We love
like,
you too.
I can't, like, she delivered that line so well. Like, who do you think did that shit, nigga? If she could say that in the play, I bet you she would have said that.
I bet you she would have said that. Exactly, because not for real.
Like, I love that moment down. But like, it's like, that's, she really had to just sit, you know. And I want to know what that conversation was like. I think that's in probably top 100 or like 50 to 100 conversations that I wanted to be in the room where it happened, you know. Hamilton reference. I wanted to be in the room when she had that moment. It was probably in the movie, it was probably her crying on the mountain where she was like, I need to just lock in. I need to forgive, you know, because not only him, but, you know, myself, for, you know, being in this marriage this long without realizing that it wasn't worth it. Like, I need to do it for my kids. But I don't think in the movie they had kids, so she was able to escape and meet the
But yeah,
and, like,
luckily, you know, luckily she ain't have no kids in the movie.
Yeah, in the play they had kids.
They had three sons.
So, like, that was, you know, that was something.
You know, another good one?
What? Go ahead.
Madea's family reunion. It's true, and you're going to tell her.
No, you have to stretch it out. It's true, and you're going to tell her.
Yo, when Lisa Arendelle, kudos to you, because, I mean, that was like, as an actor, I like grovel at your feet at that scene. That was true pain. Like, she genuinely pulled from a place in her life, you know, that she may have experienced or was at. That was real. That was very authentic. And I mean, so many people go through that on a daily basis, whether your parent, for people that have been assaulted, I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor. But for those that have been assaulted before, like, when you're telling someone that kind of had power over you, whether it's like your parent, grandparent, or whatever, a lot of people don't necessarily react well to it. They're like, well, there's no parent book to being a parent. There's no book to read to be a good parent, or like, just don't tell anybody. Okay, this never happened. Don't speak about it again. You know, or what was I supposed to do? I didn't know. You know, things like that. So I really like how he brought that to the forefront, because he really showed the real, raw truth of how it is when it comes to sexual assault. Because not that all parents know or are aware, but there are a lot of parents that do know and delude themselves and try to act like, nah, this didn't happen. You know what I mean? Or, you know, just act oblivious. But it's real, and you knew it, and you knew it was your brother, boyfriend, cousin.
Yeah. Stepdad, grandpa.
That really breaks my heart that there are a lot of parents out there that allow their, like, the non-biological father, whether it was, like, stepfather or boyfriend, to assault their child. And then they're so insecure or whatever that they're like, well, you know, I just still want you to be here for me. You know, it's just like things like that. I feel like you're supposed to give up when you become a parent. You know what I mean? Like, who has room for insecurity as a mother in regard to a situation like that?
No, when I'm insecure, my child at the end of the day, regardless.
But she forgave her anyway. I really love the end because, you know, she's genuinely just like, the mom is literally still hell-bent on telling her, I had no other choice. We wasn't going to have money. We wasn't going to have this. And she's like, I have a man that wants to love me, but I won't let him because of you. You continue to put me down. You know, you continue to make me feel crazy, but I'm not letting you do that anymore. Like, I have this good person in front of me, and I'm not letting shit get in the way of that, especially your evil ass. And she says, I forgive you with... She don't say with everything I got. She says, with all my might, I forgive you. That takes a lot out of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. But it takes even more to stay stuck in the cesspool, so.
Yeah, but I think, that's an excellent example of forgiveness. But people, please do not get that mixed with reconciliation. Mm. All right? Like, reconciliation, that's not, like, yeah, that's... It's different too. I feel like that's like mainly about like really trying to restore trust between two people. Like let me give y'all the dictionary statement of reconciliation. It is, according to Cambridge Dictionary, a situation in which two people or groups of people can become friendly again after they have argued, or the process of making two opposite beliefs or ideas or situations agree. After an argument, you want to become cordial again. You want to kind of restore that trust or that safe space, if that's a better way to put it. I would put it in this context. It is about restoring a safe space for yourself. And I think that, like, it's good that, like, his writing kind of, like, ties that in with comedy very well. Like, the comedic timing on all of his... Like, on all of his stuff is really good. Anyways, I really like how he uses it. And sometimes, I don't think that the comedy makes it land softer. I think he hits hard, and that's where it's supposed to be. And then he just is also good at comedy. I don't think that it, like, helps, like, you know, it softens the punch a little bit. No, he punches you in your gut when he tells you very bluntly, or Madea tells you very bluntly, you doing this shit and it's not good for you. You dumb as hell. And you need to get your life together because that person don't even care about you. They own with their life. They doing what they want to fucking do. An evil spirit will always be a fucking evil spirit and they will keep moving. A monitoring spirit will always be a monitoring spirit and they will keep monitoring. So what are you doing sitting there watching them do whatever they do? That's some evil ass shit. You taking facts. Notes or you want to move on with your life?
These are facts. I mean, especially when Madea was like, you can be mad, but don't be bitter. Bitterness will block your blessings. And I genuinely, truly believe that because it's like, obviously, no one is saying to let everything roll off your back and just be kind and gentle. It's a reason why Jesus died for our sins, because none of us will ever amount to this man.
Yeah.
So, like, still feel how you feel, be upset. But the thing is, don't let that emotion keep you emotionally or morally bankrupt until some shit happened. Next thing you know, you blaming this on this. Well, you pulled me out of character. You made me do this. You made me do that. No one can make you do anything. You have a choice every single day when you wake up. I'm either going to go this way or I'm going to go this way. So can someone influence it? Yes, but at the same time, influence requires permission from you. So influence only matters if you hold that person in high regard or you give a fuck about them. Genuinely, when Kerry Washington said, I don't take criticism to heart because I don't give a fuck. Like, if you don't, if I don't respect you or I don't hold you in the highest regard or I don't honor you, then why would your opinion or advice matter to me? And I was like, dang, that kind of do make sense, because we be sitting over here getting upset about people that we don't even fucking respect. Like, why would they say that? Da, da, da. And it's just like, you don't respect them anyway, so why does it matter? So I genuinely, wholeheartedly, agree with that. And let's talk about forgiveness in real life. I want us to at least share one story necessary.
You might have to go first because I don't even know if I... Nothing bad. I just don't, like, people just don't really take me out of character that much. Like, I might get loud.
I can attack.
Yeah, but I'm not genuinely tweaking it. Like, I'm not genuinely tweaking. It's like you're never gonna get me out my spot and nothing like that. Because then at the end of the day, like, it's still gonna be what it is. Like, I don't think I've ever really had like, a big falling out with nobody to really forgive. I would have to think of a situation where I forgave myself for acting a certain way. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I feel like I had to forgive myself for a lot of things. Well, since I already mentioned the sexual assault earlier, I had to forgive myself because I blamed a lot of that event on me. You know, I just felt like I should have seen the signs, and I was just very like green when it came to this particular person, because this person ahead of time, like, he told me like that he was interested in me, whatever, but you know, he started going with someone else. So automatically I'm assuming, you know, if you're dating someone else, then that means that you've moved forward, right? So this person was still at the time cool. So, you know, I was just like, it's nothing wrong with being cool with him. We're in like a mutual group of people. And so I just thought it was a safe space. And then as time went on, you know, this person started warping and developing like an emotional relationship with me that was one-sided. I'm thinking that we're just building a friendship.
Damn near parasocial.
I'm thinking in my head, we're just building a friendship. This person in their head is thinking, I'm getting her to like me the way that I like her. Closer to the end, of course, I won't go into detail because I don't want to, you know, spread that information out. But this person basically just, you know, went too far and attempted to engage in an act with me that I didn't want to take place at all. Mm-hmm. By any means necessary. And so I had to forgive that person. It took me a week to even fully process what happened, because I remember calling you like literally like after it happened. And I was just very like passive. And you were just like, no, like, you literally like were assaulted. Like, no, like, what you're saying, it's not like, it's not a game. It's not, you know, don't minimalize it. And then you were actually the person that helped me realize like how serious the event was. Cause you know, I'm just like, I'll just move forward, whatever. But then I got COVID after the event and I had to stay home for a week. So everything you kept saying just kept like ringing in my head. And then, you know, speaking over with like other people. And then that's when I was just like, you gotta forgive yourself. Cause in my head, I'm like, I'm thinking, did I give him like mixed signals? You know what I mean? Like, were there certain things that I said that I could have not said? But at the end of the day, no is a very cutthroat word. There's really no other, like, there's really no other way to say no other than fuck no, as Chris Brown would say.
The way that you said it's a cutthroat word, because if I say no and you still keep going, I'm going to fill in the blank.
So, yeah, I had to forgive myself for a while because it messed up. That situation messed up, like, a lot of the relationships that I had in my life because... But if it messed up the situations, if it messed up the relationships, then they weren't good to begin with because, yeah. So, that's what I had to... I had to forgive myself and the person. Because I've never in my life wished ill upon anyone. There are people that have done very heinous, gregarious things to me before. And I've never wished ill upon anyone. Like, I've been upset. I've been angry. But I've never, like, I want this person to die. Like, I was on the verge of, like, take this nigga off this earth. Like, today. But.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that this person has a family. And that family doesn't deserve their family member to be gone because they didn't do anything. It's not fair. And that's another thing that I be thinking about when people commit acts. It's like, you don't think about the other fucking people around you that love you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if something were to happen to you after or during the stupid ass shit that you be doing, y'all don't think about your mom, y'all dad, your kids, your siblings, sometimes y'all fucking wives and husbands, but I digress. You know, like aunts, uncles, people that are literally going to be mourning you, or whether it's you're going to prison or you're dying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how y'all don't think about other people when it comes to stuff like that. But then again, if you're committing the act already, we already know that you don't have much selflessness anyway. So yes, I had to give myself grace after, you know, I felt, even though I just feel like it's always silver lining in every situation, even though obviously that situation, you know, I personally didn't have control over in the moment. I'm not going to blame myself for the way that someone decides to choose to place their body or body parts in places that they don't belong. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say is, in the end, I attempted to still save face for this person. And I'm not doing that shit again. Whatever happens to you, happens to you. Because once you decide to make a decision like that, whatever the fuck happens after that, that's on you. So that's the only regret that I have in that situation, is I tried to sweep it under the rug. But because, you know, I just didn't want anything bad to happen, whatever. But something bad already happened, baby. So yeah, that's I'm choosing to forgive that person. I'm choosing to forgive that person this week, because it taught me a lot about myself. It was a very scary time. And I forgive that person truly and wholeheartedly, because you don't have control over me. You don't have control over my body. The relationships that I lost, it was not due to you. That the situation just exacerbated what was already there. Those people weren't real. They weren't good people. So honestly, it's just like, I forgive you, but fuck you and them, for real. That's how I feel. But guys, with us being Tyler Perry lovers, we came up with this idea, and we're actually thinking about taking it on the virtual road, because we ain't up there yet, so we could take it on tour. But we're taking it on the virtual road. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we would like to welcome you to our newest segment and game show, and it's called Perry Odd. That is correct. And yes, that is a play on word for Tyler Perry and period. That is correct. So Perry Odd, that is correct, where Tyler Perry universe knowledge meets bragging rights. This could be your new favorite game show. Okay, so if you let it, play along, keep track, and let us know if you're ready to compete in real life, because we are planning on making this a thing. I feel like the Tyler Perry fans deserve this. They deserve it. Are you ready?
Okay. Hit me with them. Hit me with them. Hit me
with them. All right. All right. All right. Are you ready? Hold on. I'm just about to do like a real like stupid thing real quick.
Okay. If you hear noises in the background, my maid's doing the dishes.
All right. Drum roll. Drum roll, first question. Diary of a Mad Black Woman. What is the name of Helen's cousin played by Tyler Perry?
Brian.
That is correct. Everybody, give her a round of applause. All right.
Good.
All right. Good. Which Tyler Perry film features Cicely Tyson delivering the line, "Love is many things. It's varied. And one thing it is not and can never be is unsure."
I would have to say Madea's family reunion.
I see you. All right. Now this one, I'm going to skip that one, because that's not even, that don't have nothing to do with Tyler Perry. Okay. The Tyler Perry universe. So, and Why Did I Get Married? What is the 80-20 rule referring to?
80-20, leaving your 80 for 20 is referring to Sheila and Trina in the context of the movie. Mike left his 80 thinking that he was going to get 80 and ended up getting 20, and now he got to give it all. You know, sometimes it's like the 50-50 rule, but basically you think you're going to get more, but you actually get that 20%.
What they say, 20 looks real good when you sitting over here with an 80 until you leave your 80 and now all you got is 20. So yeah. Shout out to you. Correct.
Yeah. Oh, wait, how did Sheila say it? How did Sheila say it though? She's like, enjoy your 20. You have to do the enjoy right. Your 20.
All right. And then last one. What was Tyler Perry's very first stage play? Now, I think this is the only one you're probably not going to get. Because it's very, very, very first one.
Wait, hold on. Because dad has the DVD or the CD to it.
Yeah. On bootleg. We apologize, Mr. Perry.
No. He bought it when they went to go see the play. When it came to the Howard Theater. I mean, Warner Theater. The old jump. Warner Theater. Freckle Frackles. I know I've been changed.
Yeah. I was thinking hard. Because it's named off of a like an old hymn, right? Because they was literally singing it in one of the plays where it was like, No, I've been changed. Let me say it. Like, honest to God, I am like so proud of you right now. You don't understand. Watching my first child do a fucking play. Hell, I know that's right. Okay. All right.
What play did he do that in? Wasn't it was it Class Reunion?
And what?
Where he was like, he held the eye. He was like,
I need a drink. Yeah, it was Class Reunion. No. I don't think that's not it. When he says, I know I've been changed, I don't think that's Class Reunion.
No, I don't think it was that at all because he was like, let me say. It was, oh my goodness gracious.
How about this, Mr. Perry? You are watching. We're thinking on turning this into a game show, and we would really love your approval and fun.
Hey, can I get one more question? That was fun. Don't immediately answer.
It's another question. I'm trying to think of a really, really.
Oh, good. I got a question. I got a couple questions for you if you want to go.
All right, go ahead. Let's do it.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. What was the first song that they sang on Madea on the Run play? In the Madea on the Run play.
I know, I'm like literally about to start singing.
Oh, wait, no, or do you want me to give you an easy one first?
No, because I mean, go ahead. Because I was really just about to start singing it and I was going to sound foolish. Do another one.
Okay. What were the three children's names in Madea's Next Door Neighbor, the play, whatever one? Madea's Neighbors from Hell.
Oh, Madea's Neighbors from Hell. I don't know their names, I'll be honest with you. But I know what they look like. The older sister, she got on that little blonde bobby wig. Then the youngest sister, she's light skinned and she had like a ponytail. And then the middle one, he has a lisp and he's dark skinned. But all of them can sing.
Yeah,
but I don't remember their names. I don't watch that play often.
Okay. What? Why? They only have. They okay. Actually only have.
You ready for the song? You know. You know what the line is coming up. It's when Claudette Ortiz was singing to help this race to be one. Mother, don't you mope. Mary, don't you weep. I came to tell you, your brother's still asleep.
Bro, yeah, she's sung. She's like that. No, I think the best, I think one of the best intro play songs is probably Madea's. What is that?
I was gonna say Farewell Play. You talking about when they say I Can't Stand the Rain?
I
can't stand the rain against my window. Can't stand the rain.
Or probably Laugh to Keep from Crying. That was a good one. Wes Morgan is a good gospel
and
singer.
And please, can we give it up to Black royalty, Miss Chandra Corelli? We love you so, so much.
The shoulders. You can make that a go-go.
All right. Let's go ahead and do the sister sound off segment before they're upset, because you know that's everybody's favorite.
Yeah,
I'm gonna turn it off on time this time.
You almost had it. You're gonna get it. Okay, I think that should be a bit though. Just keep trying every single episode.
Every single time. How much would bet somebody will comment and just say, just let it play.
No, we're gonna keep trying. Okay. By all the right. End of the year, we should have a good compilation if she don't get this
the
right.
The end of the year is crazy. By the end of the year, the song is probably going to be completely different. Okay. Welcome, y'all, to the Sister Sound Off, where you send us your real and raw questions and stories.
Raw questions.
You ask, and we both answer. You choose. Do you want to follow the advice of Sister Bria, the wise, slightly woo-woo, soft launch healing big sis? Or do you want it from Sister Jasmine, your truth-telling little sister who will give you a hug after a hard read? Let's get it. The prompt of this week is, what's the pettiest thing you've had to forgive someone for? And I'll read the first one, then you read the second one.
Okay.
And then right, keep going like that. All right. This is titled The Birthday Bandit. And also, I would like to let everyone know these are anonymous. We did start out at first with sisterly advice. However, these stories are a little bit too sticky to say the name of the person, where they're from, their age, because someone's going to find out. So these are completely anonymous. We're not reading the names, but we do give them nicknames. So this first one is called The Birthday Bandit.
The Birthday Bandit.
I forgave my best friend after she didn't show up for my birthday dinner because she wasn't feeling well. I later found out she was at her Situationships cookout, which was posted on Instagram. Mm. While she was eating the ribs, she claimed she was too sick to eat with me.
Shit, what the fuck?
Birthday bandit.
I'm sorry, that wasn't that big, but it was just like...
That's not your friend. And the fact that she knew that she could have been on Instagram, that's not your friend, sis. And it's coming from, yeah. It's coming from Reconciliation Queen. This coming from Forgiveness Queen, nicey over here. That ain't your motherfucking friend. One thing I will tell you, I don't fucking play when it comes to my birthday. I don't ask for shit all year. I do 10,011 days. I'm 10 hour. Things for people throughout the damn year. All I ask for is 24 motherfucking hours, and you can't even do that shit. OT Genesis.
Cut it.
Who is the other song? Is it Yo Gotti? We'll be like, it ain't none that kind of bitch, y'all. Snip, snip, ho. The fucking birthday bandit out. You know, shoot, no, we not doing that. No. No. Matt.
K-Camp.
Okay, K-Camp. Who said the song? Who said it? Thank you, Drew. We appreciate you. Anyway, Yo Gotti, bro.
Yeah, he got audio technician in the background. He just be watching.
Shout out to Drew.
All right, okay. The next one. My goodness, y'all. The hooded hoodie. My little brother borrowed my favorite hoodie. 2 months later, I saw it on Facebook Marketplace being sold for $10 by his girlfriend. I forgave him because he said that they needed gas money, but I still think about the hoodie when it's cold. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at you, hoodie.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, go.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that.
Your brother ain't shit.
$10 is kind of fucked up, girl. You should beat the shit out of him. $10 is fucked up because, first of all, his girlfriend got it. Then she's selling it. Like, he gave it to his girlfriend. Now she's selling it. And then third, for $10? Diez los dolores? Hell no. Nah. Beat his ass. I mean, no, I'm just playing. Yeah, you was right to forgive him. But because, you know, it's a hoodie. Maybe take some of his and sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Do you remember a Taylor Gang?
Yeah. Taylor Gang is still alive and well. I live out in Pittsburgh, y'all. So
okay.
I wasn't near Pittsburgh. So
I had a Taylor Gang hoodie. And someone took it. Mm-hmm. I lived in the house with this person at one point, forcibly, but that's a different story. And I came downstairs, had been looking for the hoodie for like the past 2 years. I ended up living with the person that took the hoodie. Came downstairs one day, the hoodie was on the damn chair at the dining room table. I took the hoodie and I cut that motherfucker up. So guess what, bitch? Now neither one of us could fucking wear it.
And ain't nothing but cut that bitch up. Snip, snip, ho. I'm just playing. Taylor Gang, it's still
like on Snapchat. I literally went past the memory the other day. It's literally like I took a picture of it and I sent it to you on Snapchat. And I mean, the sleeves.
Come up here for the September date of Slappers and Bangers up here in Pittsburgh. Taylor Gang gonna be out there. You can get another hoodie.
Period. Because I need one. Because after
Taylor Gang, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, but Taylor Gang run half of that shit. I think they like run the Slappers and Bangers Festival.
All right. We're going to move on to the next one. The Wedding Whisperer.
God, anything with weddings.
I'm so scared to read this. Right. Not for real. I forgave my cousin after she told me she wasn't coming to my wedding because it was too far. But then I saw her post a Snapchat that same day from the beach, which was another 2 hours further than my wedding venue. Once again, birthday wedding, anniversary, graduation, all of these important situations. These people don't want to be there for you. But then all of a sudden, you know, when you got money or when you're on TV or when you're trying to accomplish something, they want to fucking show up. It's a no for me. It's a no for me.
Yeah, like I bet you. Yeah, you were right to forgive them and to move on. I hope the second part was
absolutely
moving on and away
that's
from,
your
and
cousin.
The hell away from that person. Because I bet you if that was a destination wedding, they would have went on that shit. I bet you if that bitch was a cruise, they would have went on that
bitch. I bet
bitch.
You if Beyonce was there, they would have came.
Yeah. Like, what? I bet you if they told you, like, if you told them that they had goodie bags or some shit or an open bar at your wedding, that they would have been there at that shit. When you offer extra and you start seeing that people are showing up, like, this ain't motherfucking psychology. What is that? The Pavlov effect or some shit where you give people food? I'm sorry. He's also a psychology expert. He is a psychology graduate. Where you give somebody, every single time they come around you, you give them something so that now, like, or a treat or an incentive. So now every single time you're around them, they get happy. They get a dopamine, like, they get a little bit of a dopamine hit because they know that they're going to receive an incentive from being around you because you're always giving them something. This ain't that shit, ho. You ain't always gonna get something. My personality and my existence being around you should be enough. Oh, let me say it one more time. I'll say it one more time for the podcast episode in two. Right? Like that shouldn't be a part of that. So yes, he was right to forgive him. He was right to forgive him. And I hope you move the hell on away from them. Cause what the hell?
Hug them at Thanksgiving. Do not text them outside of that. They're your cousin, yeah. So still be cordial with them, but you don't need to have an intense relationship.
Don't
Y'all
share
don't need
a blunt
to be close.
With them. Don't share a bottle with them. Hi, goodbye. How your mom doing? How auntie doing? Oh, I'll just talk to her. She over there. Let me go. Goodbye.
Exactly.
It's business now.
But Chloe say, I chew. We love you, Chloe Bailey.
I forgave my coworker for calling me brave for wearing a bodycon dress to the office. She swore it was a compliment. I'm still unpacking the microaggression for show macro. But I had to let it go because she's the one who controls the coffee budget.
Fuck that coffee. Y'all don't goddamn Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts or Pete's Coffee or a local
you
coffee shop anywhere
what?
Near you.
You caffeine fiend? Why can't you just get coffee from somewhere else?
Verona crack addict.
Your self-esteem, let's equate this. No, because what I'm reading from this sentence, let's equate this. Your self-esteem, your safety, your work environment. First of all, you're at work. So why the fuck is she commenting on that shit in the first place? But your safety, your self-esteem, coffee, the coffee budget.
No, we love our Snow Bunny listeners, but this cannot be one of our chocolate queens, because if it is, you need to come in our DMs and reveal yourself. Matter of fact, I'm about to go back through the emails and find out which one of y'all said this stupid shit.
What? Let's equate that real quick.
Coffee.
What?
Coffee.
Your scale is off. Coffee. Your scale is off.
And I bet you
Get
she got a flat ass. I bet you that girl got a flat ass.
I don't want to say that because then they just, and the body could be good. The body could be tea. Okay, but something missing up here. They scale off because you shouldn't, let me calm it down a little bit because I'm passionate. I'm not mad at you. I'm just passionate. Okay.
You do body shaming.
You can't get coffee. Yeah. You can't like the coffee budget, like your coffee budget, go fucking get that shit from somewhere else. And at the job, what?
Even a local coffee shop.
Get some coupons or something. Snap you up some. Get the Starbucks app and start gaining points, my nigga. Instead of fucking letting Jackie talk to you like this in the goddamn workplace. I don't mean Jackie because I have a colleague who's named Jackie and I love her. So yeah, she's like really amazing. So I don't want to compare that, but that's just the first thing that came to my mind. I'm finna let Jessica come up to me like this at the workplace and say I'm brave for wearing a bodycon dress. You're brave for talking out the side of your mouth to me at work while I'm on the clock. You finna get clocked.
I'm definitely, HR might as well come meet me at my damn desk because I'm definitely finna say some shit right back.
I will drag you into HR's office personally myself. Pick it your hand, your leg, or your hair. Which one do you want? Talking about something, dipping into my coffee budget. All right, do another one.
Okay, the holiday hijack. I forgave my aunt after she brought her own sweet potato pie to Thanksgiving and placed it next to mine, then told everyone hers was the one without lumps. I didn't speak to her for 6 months, but Jesus said forgive, so I did. And I say this in the most gentle, loving, respectful way ever. Do your sweet potato pie got lumps? Because
what do we mean by lumps?
She shouldn't say it. It should just be like, you know, this is auntie's pie and this is her pie. When we say lumps, we mean like, you know, like when you're pureeing
chunks in the batter.
Yes.
Yeah, like chunks in the batter.
Yes, yes. So hey, this is what I'm gonna do. If your pie got lumps in it, just send me a DM and we gonna start this the Sunday Reset cooking show. We just gonna start branching out and we gonna help you get them lumps out your pie so auntie can shove her pie up her fat ass.
Yeah, cause
she might have a point there.
You might need to forgive yourself for that lumpy ass. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Now we really talk about forgiveness. Forgive yourself for not blending that pie. For not blending that pie the way you were supposed to. Lord
baby,
have mercy.
If the shit was lumpy, someone was going to tell you besides your auntie, no
That's
matter
what I'm saying.
What they take.
And she rude for pointing it out. She rude for pointing it out.
She should have just told you. She should have just... Yeah.
At least she said it in front of you, because she could have just went behind your back and you wondering why nobody eating your pie and hers is done. That's because she been going around like, hey, baby, just to let you know, her pie got lumps, so you should get mine. You got to respect it. You know, she said it out loud.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, your auntie should have had grace in that situation, peripheral. Like, I just...
She could have pulled you to the side and gave her recipe or something. You know what I mean? Like, baby, hey.
I noticed, you know, it still tasted good, but it was just, you know, this and that. You know, let me show you how to, you know, make it, you know?
Exactly.
I don't, like, I would have just given advice, you know, I wouldn't have. Or, like, I mean, sometimes just at least speak softly about it. Like, dang, don't speak out to everybody, point to it and say, okay, y'all, mine's the one without the lumps in it. Now that's a fuck you ho moment, but okay, there you go. I said it 3 times. I'm out now. I can't say that word no more. But like, okay. But even something as small as that, having grace in those moments is not just for the betrayals.
It's for sometimes yourself, because you will stress yourself the fuck out, getting upset.
Everyday moments. You just gotta go. Like, breath work has really been, oh my goodness gracious, breath work actually does help. I think I might take a Lamaze class or something online or whatever. I don't know, because like, just going helps in a lot of moments. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
All right.
You gonna do our ending?
The bridesmaid betrayal. I forgave my friend after she told me she couldn't afford to be in my wedding. Then 2 weeks later, she posted pictures on Instagram at another wedding in a custom gown, hair laid, nails done, and holding a bouquet. I told God I was letting it go, but my group chat knows the truth. Need y'all to stop fucking coming into our damn DMs about shit y'all already know. You don't need no damn advice on this bitch. You know damn well this bitch ain't a friend. And if she is, she ain't a good one. I'ma need y'all to stop. I ain't giving out no more damn advice on some shit like this. This ain't your motherfucking friend. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
The breakup bandit. I forgave my ex for breaking up with me on FaceTime the day before my birthday. He said he didn't want to ruin my day, but still somehow ruined it. God knows my forgiveness was strictly to keep my prayers from hitting the ceiling.
Baby, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hold your hand. Your boyfriend was broke. He just ain't want to get you a birthday gift.
And I feel like some shit like that just happened to me. I'm going to fuck his ass up. But, baby, your boyfriend.
Baby, he don't got no money. He don't got no money. That's why. That's the real reason why he ain't want to hurt you. His pride was bigger than his damn wallet. So he just decided to break up with you.
I bet you weeks leading up to that, you know, or like even if he was planning ahead of time for his birthday, he might have said, oh, I don't want nothing. You ain't got to get me nothing. Like, don't worry about me. I'm not big on gifts or holidays and stuff. And birthday. He was like, don't worry about me. I don't really do that. So don't worry about, like, the holidays. I don't really celebrate that type of stuff. So,
baby,
like, don't even worry. Yeah, don't even worry about it.
Yeah, he broke. That's all.
He's broke.
And, no, you know, it's nothing wrong with dating a broke nigga, but, you know, just be honest about it.
Yeah.
That'd be the problem. So, yes.
Yeah, because money changes people a lot.
It does. It either makes you worse or better. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they broke, they be rude as hell. You could tell. They be mad, just mad at life.
I be feeling so bad. So fucking mad. I don't understand that, though, because when someone does have money and people want them, they're a gold digger. But then it's like when someone doesn't have money and someone wants you, it's like, fuck out my face. I ain't worth nothing. What the fuck you want me right now for? And it's like, damn, nigga. Like, if I wanted you when you had money, y'all would call me a damn whore. Anyway, moving on. So, grace isn't just for big betrayals. Sometimes it's for small everyday moments. Like that little microaggression that Shawty had with her coworker. There are slick things like that, that especially when you work in corporate America and you're Black, people do that shit to you every day. It'll be little things that you're just like, you know what I'm saying? Just move forward. These people ignorant as hell. They don't know shit. Most of the time they won't ever be shit other than where the fuck they at.
Your fucking coworker. Yeah.
Sometimes your light genuinely just irritates people. People's eyes, it shines too bright. And unfortunately, they just take that shit back out on you. But don't let it dim you.
Yeah. People hate to see you embody what they cannot.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Because I'll never forget this one day. As everyone knows, I'm an actor. I plan to one day have this full time. But until then, you still have to do what you have to do to live every day. I went into a one-on-one with one of my old bosses, and they were like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And so I was like, not here. And they were offended by that because they had been working there for like a decade. They were like, this place gives you so many benefits, and I don't even understand why you would say something like that. And I've been here for this long, and I've had a great life. And it's like, okay, you decided to hit a stalemate and settle and say this is exactly where you want to be for the rest of your life. That don't have shit to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm always going to keep moving, keep evolving. This has never been my end goal. This is just what I'm doing right now in order to keep the lights on and feed my fucking self. But this is not my passion. This is not my purpose. God did not create me to sit here and work here. This is just a fucking stop sign. I just hit a stop sign right now. It's just a little break, a detour. But the ship gonna keep fucking moving. My ancestors did not get dragged all the way over here for me to sit here and work for the white people for the rest of my life when I have gifts and talents that deserve to be spread across the nation. And I don't say that lightly. I say it with everything I got, because when you know your purpose in this life, when you know exactly what God has planned for you, what God wants you to do, the things that, you know, you're supposed to get out in order to be a better person, in order to make everyone around you better, you don't need nobody to fucking tell you. I don't need permission to do what God has already blessed me with, especially not from you. So no shade to that person, but.
Yeah, for sure. Let me see. Yes, you want to do our closing rituals?
Yes. We definitely need to do this affirmation. I release what no longer serves me. I extend grace to others and myself. That needs to be your affirmation throughout the rest of the week. And also your journal prompt for this week. Who or what am I forgiving and letting go? Also, please let us know if you enjoyed that Tyler Perry game show. We're thinking of creating a whole new segment for Tyler Perry fanatics like us. So if you really truly enjoyed that, please let us know, because we would really like to bring this idea that we have to life, because we're not the only ones that love Mr. Perry. You feel me? We're not the only ones. It's a lot of us out there. Please follow us on Instagram at Sunday Reset the Pod. And please follow us on TikTok at the period Sunday period Reset period Pod. Follow our individual accounts. Follow me at Bria, the letter M as in Mike Browner. And then Jasmine at J-U-S-S, Jasmine with 3 E's. Is there anything you would like to add before we go? Daddy, on that note, forgiveness doesn't erase the past, but it does enlarge the future.
Enlarge the future.
Take that into your week, y'all. Y'all deserve a soft girl era, soft girl life. And in order to live that, you got to forgive. You got to let go. You got to move.
Yeah. Goodbye. Hey, bro, shut that shit up. Fuck, nigga. Shut up. Shut up, fuck, nigga. Fuck up.